Good morning again, church. Shout out to Eric Gargas, who my wife called late last night to say, so buddy, may not make it. I hope you have a sermon ready. And Eric said, you know, yeah, God is good. I'm ready to go. And shout out also to Mark and Jackie for their 45th wedding anniversary. So, yeah. And he invited all the teenagers over to their house this week for their 45th wedding anniversary. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 6, verse 26, is where we're going to look today. The bread of life, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father, God, has set his seal. And therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may do the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And so they said to him, and I love this because this is after he's already fed them with one boy's loaves and fishes, right? What then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. This is the will of him who has sent me, that all he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Let's pray. Father, we all come before you today, and not just on Sundays, Lord, but every day. We come empty-handed, asking, begging for a gift. So many of our prayers, conscious and unconscious to you, start out with, Lord, I need. What we need is the bread of life. We need Jesus. Whatever our question is, he is the answer. Father, I look around airports and cities at people who are lost and don't know you. And they keep searching blindly, trying to feel their way with no help there in the dark. What they need is Jesus. I see people who are literally starving, not for food. We've got plenty of food. They're starving for purpose. They're starving for truth. They're starving for direction. They're starving for answers. When there's really only one answer. His name is Jesus. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He will satisfy every hunger in our life. He who believes in me will never thirst. So, Father, be with us. Open up our eyes, open up our hearts and our minds so that we will know the truth and we will be set free. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Well, so yeah, ran out to Denver, flying out there, flying back. And you meet a lot of people, and we all live in the same country, but we don't speak the same language. English, American English, as we know it, is a very, very poor language, and it gets misused so terribly on top of it. And some words get so overused. We have a word, L-O-V-E, simple little word, right? And we use it for everything. We love our family. We love our friends. So glad to have Rocky Barra here today. We love our favorite sports team. I'm talking to these two big guys on the plane with me, and of course, didn't take long before we were talking about fishing, hunting, football, baseball, yep. You know, and we love our sports teams. We love this song or that movie. We love our church. But when we say we love our favorite restaurant, it means something very, very different, I hope, than when we say we love our family. Another word that gets overused a lot is another simple four-letter word, N-E-E-D, need. Because we say things all the time like, oh, I need this sweater. Or, I need these socks. Yeah, baby, I need these socks. Thank you very much. I need, you know, talking to, you know, one of the guys on the plane, he goes, I need a new job. And I said, what's wrong with your old job? How much you pay? And he told me how much he makes at his old job that he hates. I'm going, can I sign up for that, you know? Or most meaningful, perhaps, of all, I need that third scoop of ice cream right there. Mm-hmm. We seem to believe that we need a lot of things. But honestly now, people, are those things we simply want? Or are those things that we truly need? And honestly, do we really know what we really, truly need? The scriptures, the Word of God, has been telling us from the beginning that all we truly need in life is to trust God, to trust Him. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, what did they need? Nothing. They didn't need anything. God provided everything. All they needed was to be obedient. All they needed was to trust God. Later in the book of Genesis, when the children of Israel were escaping from Egypt and they were out in the desert and they were being pursued by Pharaoh and his army, they were trapped between the sea on one side and an army that was determined to destroy them on the other. What did they need? Boats? One of the shortest books in the world is Great Sailors of the Jews. I mean, they're not great sailors. You know, the boats were not going to help them. On their own, they were doomed. What they needed was God. There he was. But here's the great thing. God didn't just save them. He didn't just save them. I mean, God could have sent this big sandstorm or something to mess up the eyes and so forth of all of the Egyptian army. God puts on this spectacular demonstration to show that how in any and all and every situation they would ever encounter, no matter how hopeless it might seem, they only needed to trust Him. We only need to trust him. And later, after they've seen the seven plagues in Egypt, and after Pharaoh lets them go, and after they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, when they didn't pack enough food and water, and they're thirsty and they're hungry, and they cry out to Moses, "We need water. We need food." God said, "No, you need to trust me. Trust me. Have some faith. Believe just a little bit." Jesus said, "Just that tiny little mustard seed size of faith." So God gave them water. God gave them quail. God gave them manna, sweet bread from heaven, so the people would have all that they needed. In the New Testament, here we are, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus goes back across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds chase him down. They first went back to the site where he had fed them. He wasn't there, so they take off around the lake, and they find him. And Jesus says to them in verse 26, "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." And therefore they said, "Well, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And so they said, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will not thirst." Brothers and sisters, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he is the answer to your questions. That emptiness inside your heart, he is the only one who can fill it, so that you will not hunger, so that you will not thirst. This is what Jesus said here, is so reminiscent of the Sermon on the Mount, of the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And that's just it. After you've tried everything else, you know, I've tried money, I've tried materialism, I've tried relationships, all of that, and it all just comes up empty. Like this guy on the plane, nice guy, good guy, he slept most of the way, bless him, but, you know, he's making this great salary, and he's able to afford to fly his family cross country and spend a week at Disney, and he's not happy. Later in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, 25, Jesus said, "Look, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you eat or what you drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, Ooh, now he's stepping on toes. Which of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen to that. What do you think you're thirsty for? What do you think you're hungry for? Is it really and truly the life that Christ calls us to? A life of righteousness, a life of trust, a life of faith in him, where he's going to provide all that you need? Or is it a life of hopelessly chasing what we think we want? There's a story of a Cherokee grandfather who was trying to teach a lesson to his son. He said, there's a fight going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger and envy and sorrow and regret and greed and arrogance and self-pity and guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. The other is good. He is joy and peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? And the old chief simply replied, the one you feed. The one you feed. And there it is. The rage, the battle that's going on inside us. The children of Israel were following behind Moses, but really they were following behind God himself. The Lord went in front, leading the way, a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. But inside of them was this battle between those two wolves, and they fed the wrong wolf. The evil wolf. And their steps, every single step they took as they followed along, were marked by doubt and regret. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here? Self-pity, sorrow. And when they decided that Moses had been gone too long up on top of the mountain, they turned away and made a god of their own to worship. They believed they knew better than God as to how to meet their needs, and they're just like people today. They fed the wrong wolf, and they died wandering in the desert with the promised land just on the other side of the river. And in Jesus' time, it was so much like our time. Because what Jesus is really saying there in the Sermon on the Mount about birds and lilies and so forth, he's talking about material things. The material things we think we got to have, that we need. Well, there's some things that we need, but a lot of it's just things we think we want. They were all about materialism. They were chasing after Jesus because they were looking for something for nothing. They went to hear a sermon and they got a great meal. Hey, this is great. How much did it cost? Nothing. Where is he now? Let's go find him. Their financial system had turned the great temple there in Jerusalem into a den of thieves. The Jewish leaders were terrified of him and plotted his death, not because he pushed them too hard to repent, but because they were afraid that Jesus might cause an uprising and put their nice little power arrangement with the Romans at risk. They fed the wrong wolf. Greed, false pride, arrogance, superiority. And they lost everything when the Roman general Titus and his legions came to lay siege to Jerusalem some 40 years after Jesus was crucified in 77 AD. The people in Moses' time failed to realize what they needed and chased all the wrong things. The people in Jesus' time failed to realize what they needed and chased all the wrong things. They needed material wealth, they said. They needed the military and economic security that life in the Roman Empire brought. And are we any different today? No. No, we're not. People today still confuse what we want with what we truly need. We still chase after all these material wants, mistaking them for our needs. We still put our trust and our faith in things like the economy or Wall Street, oh my stars, government, military power. We put all of our hope and faith and trust in them, and in our passion to grab on to what we want, in our desire to reach the top, whatever that is, we feed the wrong wolf and we miss out not just on what we really truly need, we miss out on the very best that life has to offer. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all he has given me I will lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, and everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Let me say something that's a misconception about salvation that people, especially people who are non-believers, think, and even a lot of people who are in church across this country today. The abundant life, the rich life, that Jesus life is not something that's waiting by and by like some pie in the sky. It starts right now. Today, God will provide for all we need in this life. And he richly gives, abundantly gives. And he will provide for all we need in the life to come. I will not lose any of them, Jesus says. And I will give them eternal life. And he will give us a life for all eternity that is more amazing and wonderful than we can ever imagine. He is the bread of life. Come to him and you will not hunger. Believe in him and you will not thirst. He will care for you in this life and in all of eternity. Because God so loves you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how foolish we are so much of the time. A lot of the times, Lord, our whole life is kind of the way that we choose to eat. Something looks tasty, so we go ahead and get it, but it's not the right thing for us, not the best thing for us. And we tell ourselves, well, you know, I'll eat better later. I'll eat better next week. We do that with all of our life. I'm going to make this choice. And even though I know it may not be the best choice or the right choice, you know, it looks tasty, it looks good, I'll worry about doing the right thing later. Problem with tomorrow, Father, is that it never comes. Tomorrow never comes. And we just go from day to day, kind of fumbling our way through. Maybe we make a lot of money, but we still have that sense, that very, very real sense that something's not right, something's missing. There's a hunger inside of us. There's a thirst that drives us. And Father, it's not till we begin to realize that on my own, I will never fill that hunger. I will never quench that thirst. That there's an emptiness there that I can throw all of this other stuff down. And it just doesn't work. And we hear a voice. And he calls us by name. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will not thirst. Whatever problem we've got, whatever hunger, thirst we crave, he is the answer, and there is no other. So, Father, if we don't have Christ in our life, then why not? What's holding us back from saying yes to Jesus? Are we just going to keep on deluding ourselves and thinking, no, I'm going to try this over here for a while. And if that doesn't work, I might come back to Jesus then. And we keep hunting around, bouncing around like a pinball in a machine, never really finding that answer. Still with questions, still with hunger, still with thirst. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. And the one who follows him will find the answer. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Father, I pray for those who need to know Christ. Pray for the two guys I was sitting with last night. Pray that they will come to know Christ. And I just thank you, Father, for your goodness and blessings. For you are the bread of life. In Christ's name.